You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Well, this is a big night. President Biden's State of the Union, a lot on the line. It's not just going through the motions. What's really on the line here is the election that's coming up in November. So let's go to NBC's Today Show. They have coverage. There's a lot at risk here for President Biden, specifically how he delivers his speech.
Chairs. Gabe, good morning to you.
Hey, Savannah, good morning. With the exit of Nikki Haley, the Biden-Trump rematch is taking shape. And tonight, the stakes could not be higher. The president is expected to lay out his vision for a potential second term and propose new taxes on large companies and billionaires.
With the race for the White House kicking into high gear after Super Tuesday, this morning, President Biden is preparing to deliver perhaps the most significant address of his presidency.
The president will outline an agenda that is about continuing to build on the progress that we've made over the last 3 years.
The president expected to hammer several themes in this State of the Union address: an improving economy, reproductive rights, and preserving democracy. And despite trailing Mr. Trump in recent polls on securing the border, President Biden is expected to highlight his immigration policies after House Republicans tanked a bipartisan border security bill. Still, he faces a slew of challenges as election season ramps up. Persistent voter concerns about his age, his handling of the Israel-Hamas war, with some Democrats voicing their disapproval by voting uncommitted in recent primaries, and high food prices due to inflation.
Attack my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal.
Last year, some Republican members of Congress interrupted his address. This year, the White House says
he's ready for anything, as you saw him literally do that last year.
The speech coming as the general election rematch takes shape. After Donald Trump won almost every Super Tuesday state, his rival Nikki Haley suspended her campaign.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
The former president securing the endorsement of Mitch McConnell, who had sharply criticized him over his conduct on January 6th. Recent polls show Mr. Trump leading President Biden within the margin of error. And after skipping GOP primary debates, Mr. Trump is now calling on President Biden to debate him anytime, anywhere, any place.
He's the worst president in the history of our country.
The Biden campaign won't commit to a debate just yet, saying that's a conversation we'll have at the appropriate time and urging Mr. Trump to watch the State of the Union. After tonight's address, the Biden campaign is planning a travel blitz to battleground states in the coming weeks, Savannah.
All right, Gabe, thank you. I want to turn to Kristen Welker, moderator of Meet the Press. Kristen, good morning to you. So the president has two challenges tonight. State of the Union is about policy. What do you want to do if you get a second term? But also about performance, how he appears and how Americans assess him.
Savannah, that's absolutely right. In fact, the performance is going to be as important as the policy tonight. Look, he is going to make a case for why there should be another 4 years of Joe Biden. We've heard him in recent weeks really focus on why voters shouldn't vote for Trump. Tonight, the focus is about him. I've been talking to outside allies who say, look, he's got to do more than just deliver a list. He's got to tell a story about the Biden presidency. I expect he will do that. But to your point about the performance aspect of this, Savannah, look, these are two candidates who are seniors. We know that. But if you look at the polls, voters express more concerns about president's age and ability to serve another 4 years. So he's got to show that fight that we saw in Gabe's piece. We know the White House is preparing for it. We also know Speaker Johnson has urged his conference to show restraint tonight. But will they listen, given that we're in the middle of this fraught reelection campaign, Savannah?
Yeah, I think we saw some hecklers last year. We'll see how that plays out in the chamber. Let's talk about the Republican response. I think you reported that there had been a moment where former President Trump was considering doing it himself. Who is going to deliver that Republican response?
That's right. Former President Trump had talked a little bit about it, and his team, I think, decided the stakes probably not right for him to do that. So Alabama Senator Katie Britt, a 42-year-old mom, is going to be delivering the response. This is notable. She will talk about IVF, what you were just talking about with Laura, that fight. She'll try to appeal to suburban women voters, those all-important voters, straddle that line also between this Trump reelection campaign, and also making the case that Republicans do favor expanding reproductive rights. But Savannah, this has been a real challenge for Republicans. We've seen it in past elections. Can they find a way to talk about this issue that is so galvanizing for voters?
All right, Kristen, thank you. And of course,
you know, this again, this business of the Republicans would be wise to, you don't have to heckle. Don't make any noise. Don't give them an excuse to say, you know, look how disrespectful they're being. I believe Republicans right now play to the center, play to the Democrats. You already have the Republican base. You're not going to get the progressives. Play for moderate Dems. Make a play for the independent voters. You don't need to let Biden self-destruct on his own, is what I'm trying to say. And so therefore, don't let the highlight be that some Republicans were heckling him and then they just keep playing that loop over and over again, which they would do. So I would refrain from that and let him just be up there bumbling around. I think this is I think the moment is too big for him. I mean, well, obviously we're going to find out, but it's nighttime. Maybe they're going to try to have him rest all day today. I mean, this is crazy. This is, it makes no sense that they believe that he can actually do this. But I want to remind people, it's the Bidens. It's the president and the first lady. They're the ones that are pushing forward on this. They're the ones that are refusing to concede on this matter. No Democrat has stepped forward that's going to take him on. I don't believe any of this stuff of he's just suddenly going to step aside. It shows no signs of that. As I've been saying, they view it as 7 months to go. 7 months, the final race. If he does that, he's a two-term president. I believe that's what they're gearing up for. That's their end game, and no one's going to tell him differently. So it seems, think about this. It's going to be an accomplishment if the president of the United States can stand up there and off of teleprompters deliver and read a prepared speech. That's how low the bar is right now. That should tell you a lot. Not that there has to be substance to the speech, not that it has to be well received, not that any of it has to happen. The bar is so low right now, all they want to seek and find out is if President Biden can actually get up there and deliver the speech without flubbing and falling down. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall, Plaster, and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Well, this story is really remarkable. Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border, and it has national security vulnerabilities. So, and the Daily Mail has this, and they're a good source. And the Daily Wire has it, and they're a good source. So, the administration has now admitted transporting migrants' secret flights into the U.S. Lawyers for immigration agencies claim revealing the locations could create national security vulnerabilities. We're going to follow the story because I think at some point someone will get to the bottom of this. Customs Border Protections have refused to disclose crucial information about a program last year, arranging flights, thousands of undocumented from foreign airports directly to U.S. cities. It means that while there are record numbers of migrants flowing over the southern border, they were also transporting them directly into the country. Use of a cell phone app has allowed for the near undetected arrival by air of 320,000 aliens. No legal rights to enter the United States. Comes after controversy, the Transportation Program 2022, which they use tax money to move migrants throughout the country on overnight flights. Certainly remember that story. So now this is one of those stories, it's not going to go away. I think we'll slowly start to get some more information about this. And what we need is some agencies, in essence, that really cover these, have more information, news agencies is what I'm trying to say, that they would be able to really get some documents. Because you need to be able to match up the flights in into the cities. Those eligible for this program, Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Colombia, Ecuador. So imagine, even Elon Musk has apparently weighed in on this and saying that think of the security risk that is at stake here, that Biden is just decided to completely bypass and fly them all in. So now the New York Post, they're usually pretty buttoned up on some of this. But this business, when you think about it, how they just decided to go around the system and not even utilize. Elon Musk was saying it's basically treason that this is being allowed to be done in this way. I mean, it's so dangerous. So, you know, these secret flights, you keep hearing about things like that. And now Biden, they admit 320,000 secretly flown in. So then you don't have the big backlog at the border. It's just so beyond the pale. I want to see if I can get more details on this. Now, for those, and I've already had people starting to ask, We have, I am unaware, I've heard about things like this for quite some time. In the past, I have chased down reports of this at Quonset. I have not heard about anything at TF Green from time to time, but nothing concrete. Again, I've looked into this, and there's definitely been rumor. Couple years ago, there were strong rumors. I even had someone who was using Flight Tracker that swore these flights were arriving late at night at Quonset, but I was not able to come up with anything. Let me just check the Daily Wire. So here it is, a report from Todd Bensman, Center for Immigration Studies. Inadmissible migrants flew directly into the United States just last year, facilitated mostly by the CPB-1 cell phone app. It was able to confirm 43 U.S. airports have received them, but the government has refused to disclose the names of the airports. Legal filings. So this is where it's going to come down, is then if this stuff starts to come out public. Disclosing the names of the airports or how many would reveal operational vulnerabilities. So they're choosing not to. Berman noted that these so-called, quote, bad actors they're concerned about already have access to where this is taking place. For example, there's government data available that shows airports Boston, Chicago, New York have seen huge spikes in arrivals 2022-2023 under the radar program, part of Biden's dramatic expansion immigration parole programs. So that's interesting. More than 1 million migrants have been granted immigration parole directly into the United States. So this is someone that's been studying it. Now, what's needed is certainly more details in this. The the headline, excuse me, the headline definitely gets your attention. I'll give them that. And the Center for Immigration Studies, I mean, I've dealt with them for many, many years. So government admission, Biden parole flights create security vulnerabilities at U.S. airports. So Todd published this just on March 4th, which was Monday. They won't say which airports are receiving them, but they are admitting that, in fact, they are coming in. So I can't answer on whether or not. I know people want to know about T.F. Green. It certainly would seem Logan. But now you have, you know, think how much they've criticized the Texas governor, Governor Abbott, for placing them on buses and then shipping them up to places like New York City and Chicago. But this is a completely end around that they're literally flying them in to get rid of the backlog at the border. And what's so unfair about it, you know, I think it would make sense if it was in fact Boston, because think about it. You have all those people at Logan and no one knows how they got there. And then they're overflowing in the shelters and you don't see any buses arriving. So it would make sense that they were using Logan. I mean, that would make sense. They're using Logan Airport. Apparently, they definitely seem to track it to Logan, also O'Hare in Chicago. And then also, well, New York City, you have LaGuardia, but then you also have JFK. So, but when you see like these spikes, Logan, for instance, spiked 2.3 million passengers from 2022 to 2023. That seems, you know, almost impossible. And then you have O'Hare in Chicago, which granted it's a busy airport, but airport travelers rose from 6.39, a little over 6 million to close to 8 million. New York City, they've seen their airports as far as passengers now, regular passengers, from 17 million and then suddenly to 22 million. Well, yeah, that would make sense if then you had all these illegals that Biden was flying in. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. AEP Services, they take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link, experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail, they have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape, it adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today. AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote. AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. It's time for our legal segment. Joining us right now, he is our legal expert, one of Rhode Island's top attorneys. It is attorney Tim Dodd. And Tim, why don't we start off? Aaron Thomas, North Kingstown coach, back in the news. This is important, apparently a hearing to decide whether or not these charges that have been leveled against him regarding these this so-called naked fat test in North Kingstown. It sounds like we're going to find out next month where this case stands.
Yes, this is a case that has been high profile, and even Aaron Thomas's attorney concedes in arguing for the motion to dismiss that the optics of the case aren't great for the defense. I mean, the coach was doing the so-called naked fat test, allegedly taking a body mass index or something to try to work on improving the athletes that he was coaching in terms of their ability to run, to jump, and to be in better physical shape. Was it a system that generated positive results? Was it something that was created by a medical professional? No, it wasn't. Do many of the coaches, athletes who have gone through the system say that the whole naked fat test, you know, watching what you eat, watching your weight, watching your muscle mass, did it help your athletic performance? Many, many, many will come forward and say, yes, it was a very good program. It was very helpful. You got a few students who have come out after the coach got fired to say that, you know, making allegations of an improper touching. So the coach is charged with one count of second-degree child molestation and one count of second-degree sexual assault. The main component of these charges is whether or not the touching between the coach and the student was done for the coach's sexual gratification. If it was not done for any sexual gratification, then one of the elements of second-degree sexual assault and or second-degree child molestation would not be satisfied. I believe one of the students says they thought they saw a partial erection in the coach's groin area during one of these tests that was being performed. That I don't think that's corroborated in any manner. The Attorney General's department, in arguing against the motion to dismiss, says, well, wait a minute. If this was all an above the board normal thing, why did the coach lie when officials from the North Kingston School Department and members of the North Kingston Police Department asked him about this?
Yep.
He lied about whether or not these kids were doing it while unclothed. The state would say he lied because he was trying to hide what he was doing for sexual gratification. Defense counsel says, well, no, because he thought what he was doing was proper, but he was also worried about losing his job. That's something that creates, I think, something of a problem for the defense. Why did he lie about it if he thought this was a totally normal thing just to coach athletes and not for some sort of sexual component? Every touching is not a sexual touching. It's not a great comparison, but, you know, you see football games, somebody scores, his teammates come over and give him a slap on the butt.
Yeah.
That's not for a sexual gratification.
Right.
That's like a way to go kind of a demonstration, a physical demonstration. So did the coach do this for sexual gratification or not? Is there any evidence that he was doing it for sexual gratification? I think some of the complaining students said, well, there was heavy breathing. Well, if there's two people in a room and one of them, both are breathing, you know, you're going to hear the breathing. It doesn't mean that necessarily the breathing is a sign of sexual gratification. The partial erection, that could be a problem. The judge might find, well, that's enough of a factual issue to take this to a jury. It's tough for a judge on a high-profile case like this to dismiss it.
Right.
The judge who's hearing this, Judge Thunberg, is an excellent judge. She's one of the longest-serving judges in the Superior Court. She handles predominantly criminal cases. She's seen it all. She's done it all. She's heard it all. So I think from both sides, I think they've got a very conscientious, thoughtful, well-versed judge hearing this. The other issue that's provocative in this, in terms of the defense, is they're moving to dismiss, claiming that the state failed to file these charges within the 3-year statute of limitation for these offenses. Defense counsel says that based upon the facts, that the charges should have been brought on or before June of 2022. The state didn't bring the charges till July of 2022. So defense is saying state missed the statute of limitations, got to dismiss it. just thinking about the case, not necessarily the judge who's hearing it, but any judge faced with a difficult case, if the judge didn't want to get into the weeds on whether or not this naked fat test was for sexual gratification,
yep.
Was it or was it not? If the judge decides the case should go based upon blowing the statute of limitations, judge could dump the case on that basis and never get into what kind of touching is sexual, what isn't, what's for gratification, what isn't, what does heavy breathing mean. So I think the defense is doing a good job here. Will it be successful? I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah. Again, Tim, the decision apparently is going to be made April 15th. Let's just also clarify, could it be explained a way of, hey, the reason I lied to the police and to the administrators, I was embarrassed. Is that criminal that he may, you know, and maybe he could argue and say, well, you know, I wasn't that forthcoming, but it doesn't mean he broke the law because he wasn't honest with the people at the school.
Well, he wasn't honest with the people at the school or with the police, allegedly. You know, words have nuanced meaning, and I haven't seen the transcript of the exact question and the exact answer, but it doesn't sound like he was totally candid and forthcoming when asked about the naked fat test, so-called.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make what happens thereafter a crime,
okay.
And a sex crime.
Right.
And on a sexual assault or a molestation. Again, defense counsel kept pounding on, if there's no evidence of sexual gratification,
right,
the critical element of the charge has not been shown. There's no facts to support it. You must dismiss. So the defense has two different prongs to go on, the lack of sexual gratification and the statute of limitations. It would be a gutsy move for the judge to dismiss this.
Yeah. Folks, coming up, we're going to talk with our legal expert, Tim Dodd, about this. It could be a huge case involving the Dartmouth basketball team and also the Attorney General of Public Records. Much more ahead with Tim Dodd right here on The John DePietro Show. All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today. 401-521-0200, serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. We're speaking with our legal expert. It's Attorney Tim Dodd. Tim, college sports is really evolving, especially now what they have this name, image, likeness, where players can get paid. I think that I read the quarterback of Ole Miss football, he's actually cut a deal where he'll now be able to travel on a private jet. But these players and the Dartmouth basketball team, this is an interesting move. You know, years ago, it used to be, okay, you come, Ernie, Dee, and Marvin, you go to PC, you get to go for free, and they are filling the Civic Center. And now, suddenly, there seems to be a pushback and change with Dartmouth unionizing and saying, you know, they want to really change the dynamic of being these amateur athletes.
Yes, well, the Dartmouth basketball team voted, I think, 13-2 to join the local of the SEIU union. And apparently at least one of the players is already a union member because his work study job or whatever it is working in the dining hall, which is a unionized place to work on campus. So the students voted, the players who are students voted to unionize. Dartmouth immediately appealed that decision and the ability of these student athletes to do so. They appealed to the National Labor Relations Board. Dartmouth says you can't unionize if you're not workers. These people are students. They're not workers. You got to be a worker to be in a union or to vote yourselves into a union. These athletes are not, quote unquote, employed by the university. Now, Ivy League schools are in a bit of a different position than many other colleges who are in the midst of the same organizing by student athletes. My understanding is in the Ivy League schools, you don't get an athletic scholarship. So in many places, you know, if you want to come play football for
right.
Clemson,
yep.
we'll give you a sports scholarship.
Sure.
There's money earmarked for sports. So if you're playing for a university where you are given an athletic scholarship and you get the money if and only if you play the sport, well, is that an employment, more of an employment relationship? You're going to give me money if I play this sport for this college or university. Dartmouth says these players play because they want to play. It's just an activity at school, just like if they were on the chess club. Now, the little way around no athletic scholarships is they can entice people with more financial aid. A financial aid is different than a sports scholarship. So one question will be, are they employees? That's the fundamental question. And whether or not they are employees, what will be the relationship of this basketball team at Dartmouth vis-a-vis the NCAA? Because the NCAA sides, I would think, with the university saying these are students, they are athletes, but they are not employees. I think there's a problem with this one in terms of these student athletes claiming to be quote-unquote employees. An employee is a specific definitional position, which I'm not sure these guys necessarily meet that criteria. But as you said at the outset, this is an evolving area in college athletics. There's too much money on the table. There's too much financial incentives from alumni boosters
yep.
and television networks and everything else. So whether or not this Dartmouth team succeeds in unionizing, and I think there's a real question whether they will be successful, the trend is going to be more and more, like you say, you know, athletes cutting deals for private jets or athletes being able to endorse products on TV commercials in exchange for money. I mean, it's all coming because
yep.
when you get right down to it, these athletes, male and female, work long and hard
yeah.
for no compensation, really, other than perhaps their scholarship, and make literally millions, if not billions of dollars collectively for these universities.
Yep.
I think they've got a legitimate gripe on a national basis saying, we do all this work, we make you all this money,
right?
And we're getting crumbs.
Recently, Tim Dodd, before we move on, but St. John's coach, former PC coach Rick Pitino even said, you know, the game's changed. He's basically St. John's, PC, they're paid athletes. That's what they really are. You know, you raise a good point, though. In the Ivy League, they really get the benefit. Harvard, Brown, they don't even get a scholarship, and they're playing, you know, football, basketball. Tim Dodd, let's move on to the next story. Attorney General denies appeal of public records request costs sought by the governor's office. This is a little bit of the back and forth jockeying between seemingly Attorney General Peter Noronha and Governor McKee. However, as the media is starting to seemingly dive into a lot of these costs, hey, you know, we want to get records about the bridge and so forth, I mean, I want to hear your thought, but one of the things that stands out is whoever was doing this for the McKee administration, it wasn't like they were even operating off the same rate card. Channel 10 was getting charged one amount, Channel 12 was getting charged another amount. I could see where, and I don't blame the media, like, hey, what is this? How is it that some people are paying, some people are not paying?
Well, this is the ongoing, in part, battle between the McKee administration and the news media, because, as you say, they're digging in while, the optics that oftentimes are presented by the McKee administration leave you scratching your head as to who's running their, PR department. There's also the ongoing skirmishes between the governor's office and the attorney general. In this case, a couple of different news media outlets were making public records requests and APRA requests for material regarding the communications between the governor's office and the Department of Transportation regarding the problem with the Washington Bridge. I think Channel 10 was told they would have to pay something like a little over $1,000 for the appropriate records. The Boston Globe asked for a different bunch of records and were quoted a different price, but certainly for a less comprehensive request for information. The news media outlets appealed, saying, "We don't want to have to pay this much money." The appeal goes to the Attorney General's office. The AG's office, I believe, denied the appeal and said no, the monies sought for the cost of copying and the research involved that was quoted was appropriate under the circumstances. The problem, in part, is that in other cases, I believe the fees that were quoted or the costs that were quoted to different entities, the McKee administration, in certain cases, has waived the need for paying the money. So what is it? If you ask for stuff that we don't care about, we're not going to charge you, we'll waive it. And if you're asking for stuff that's sensitive, that we have a problem producing records, we're going to whack you for as much money as we can to disincentivize you from getting the records you're seeking. The specter is, are politics being played and are rates changing, sometimes being enforced, sometimes not being enforced at all, depending on what you want. And the system can't operate that way, obviously. And it's the AG's office that oversees APRA requests. And I think as this bridge fiasco continues, they're going to be making more and more of these types of decisions as more and more news outlets locally and nationally dig in further to this story, because there's every day there seems to be more and more to dig into on this.
We're speaking with our legal expert, attorney Tim Dodd. Tim, our next story, father, a man who died at the ACI, said his son's complaints fell on deaf ears. This seemingly could certainly lead to a legal situation, but it becomes a little bit of a different equation, I think. Like, what are the legal obligations of, in this particular situation, whether it's someone's in a jail cell or, this case, they're at the ACI, where they're complaining that they don't feel well, and then we don't know all the details on what happened with this individual, but I'm just wondering about the legal responsibility as far as, prisoners that are then in a correctional facility.
Well, prisoners in the correctional facility like the ACI, the administration of the ACI and the guards collectively are obligated to ensure the safety of the inmates. I mean, there is an infirmary, there's medical staff available at the ACI, doctors and nurses. When somebody presents with, a significant medical problem, certainly they can be transported to any of the local hospitals if the medical issues presented are beyond the ability of the ACI medical staff to deal with it. The question becomes, what did this inmate who ultimately passed away, what were his medical complaints? What were his symptoms? Who did he complain to? What medical services were provided, if any? This individual's father, who's also an inmate at the ICI, says, my son was complaining for days. He looked terrible. His condition was getting worse. He said, Dad, I feel sick, but it's not the flu. I don't know what it is, but something's wrong. Father complains that the ACI did nothing and basically ignored his son's medical complaints and that he ultimately died. I believe it was the union president for the prison guard said that the dad's position is not meritorious, that this individual who ultimately died was looked after, that the staff at the end provided CPR. They did everything they could for him. So it's going to become a factual issue, and I'm sure there'll be litigation that follows. You know, what were his complaints? Who did he complain to? And what action was taken based upon complaints? Guys, men and women who are inmates at the ACI, perhaps have legitimate medical complaints many times, and other times perhaps not so much. So what's this guy's backstory? Was he a constant complainer? You know, did he have faults? Complaints of medical problems in the past, or is this the first time that he ever complained about anything? And was he appropriately cared for? What did the medical records show? Are there any medical records? Did the guards properly refer him for a medical evaluation? All of this is going to come out in the wash. So yeah. we've got a distraught dad who says, my kid was ignored. And he died because he was ignored by the staff at the ACI. Mm. The guards say, no way, that's not the way it went down.
Right.
So only time will tell through what will clearly be a high-profile investigation as to the facts of this thing.
Folks, coming up, we're going to talk with Tim Dodd, this unusual case in North Providence regarding a pension, also Providence teachers, much more right here on The John DePietro Show. It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant. Stop in and see Marie, that historic white church. Shop local, inside, all quality products, vitamins, herbal remedies, trusted companies. They understand quality, integrity. It's My Health. It's all about your health. Local products, ICE, honey, maple syrup, beef fresh gum. You know, they carry over 250 bulk herbs, teas, and spices that can be purchased by the ounce plus box herbs and teas, hemp and CBD products, and much more natural skincare products. Stop in and see Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland. It's all about health for you, for your family. There's vitamins for children, all different types of teas, all different types of spices. Boy, what a difference it'll make. Shop local. Stop in and see the Queen of Health. It's Marie at It's My Health. 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant, right in that historic white church. It's all about health. It's all about your health at It's My Health. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. We've had him on, and that is Mark Dennison, his son Matthew Dennison. It was 2 years ago. Matt Dennison, a 17-year-old, senior, West Warwick, played on the hockey team, good-looking, lovable kid, and a young man, and his whole life ahead of him, and his life was taken by a drunk driver. Now, here it is 2 years later, and the former firefighter pled no contest in this DUI crash that killed his son. So yesterday, he was in court. Let's pick up the story. Matt Paddock was there for Channel 12.
Mike Shannon, there was not a dry eye in the courtroom today as dozens came out wearing a sea of green, wearing shirts that read Matt's Militia, to come out and support the Dennison and McDonald families.
The Dennison name now dies with me.
Raw emotion and pain from Mark and Brenda Dennison, sharing with the courtroom their own personal nightmare since February 12th, 2022.
I have been to the depths of hell. and I have hit rock bottom. I have been broken down and I have become numb inside. This is not how I want to live the rest of my life.
Now almost 2 years to the day of Matthew losing his life, the man behind the wheel of that vehicle that caused the crash, Alexander Krajewski.
Do you recognize, Mr. Krajewski, that this disposition is final?
Pleading nolo to charges of driving under the influence of liquor or drugs death resulting, as well as driving under the influence of liquor or drugs resulting in serious injury.
He will have to answer to his God. He must live with himself. I hope that he feels the guilt and fear for the rest of his life.
The mother of Kevin McDonald, shaken to her core, sharing the pain this crash has caused her family. Her son coming to her side in the courtroom to console her.
Although he survived, the Kevin that left that afternoon has never come home.
Krajewski succumbed to tears throughout the court proceedings.
I'm sorry.
Apologizing before being taken away in cuffs. Krajewski sentenced to 15 years with 12 years to serve, as well as a loss of license for 7 years following his release. Reporting live in South Kingstown, Matt Paddock, 12 News.
There has to be a better way that we can prevent these from happening. Because, okay, so that's one guy, and he's going to do, that is a lot of jail time, 12 years. You have all these lives ruined. I'm not saying I have the answer. But I really believe it lies within preventive measures as opposed to, the penalty that then comes upon this person. So that individual had to sit in the courtroom, and of course it's very emotional, and of course they're all getting up there. And I've interviewed the parents. The whole thing is just so heartbreaking. But my point is, at the end result, you know, Matt Dennison is not coming back. That boy, Kevin, his friend, you heard the mother saying he's not the same, the young man that left that day. I don't know how he could be. He was in the car with him. He's lucky to be alive. His best friend was killed. But this business of then what? I want to go to Channel 10 also. We'll just pick up their coverage a little bit. So, all right, we toughen the penalties. I just wonder when there's got to be a way, and I don't know what that answer is, but to prevent this from happening, whether it's out on the roads with checkpoints, whether it is mechanical within the vehicle. I want to pick up, this is the NBC 10 story about the sentencing. The drunk driver took the life of Matthew Dennison.
He had a future. He had plans. This was all ripped from...
A new chapter now beginning for the friends and family of Matt Dennison.
This was written from me.
The same can be said for Alexander Krajewski.
And can only hope you're remorseful for reasons other than the consequences of your actions.
The 32-year-old pleading no contest and sentenced to 12 years in prison in front of a room of Matt's loved ones, affectionately dubbed Matt's Militia.
I don't know that I can forgive you for taking my brother away from me. He was someone I didn't think I could live without, but I'm forced to do so because of your decision.
Police say Krajewski, a former Newport firefighter, was drunk and high on cocaine at the time of the February 2022 crash. Dennison and his friend Kevin McDonald were heading back from a hockey trip when they were hit. McDonald was seriously injured. Dennison fought for weeks with a brain injury before passing away, leaving Dennison's friends and family forever changed.
Learn from the precious life taken, the life altered, and all those that suffer because of your choices that night.
Krajewski visibly upset as he addresses the family.
And I deserve what's happening to me today. But I pray you will find peace and closure and can only hope that Kevin McDonald is healed physically and emotionally from that night too.
The Dennisons not holding back.
I'm angry. In fact, I'm angrier now than I've ever been.
And vowing to keep Matt's memory and Militia alive.
I commit to Brenda, Katie, and perhaps most importantly, Matthew, that we will make it to the end as the family we were and still are.
The court also revoked Kudrowski's license for 7 years and ordered him to complete a substance abuse program when he is released. Live in studio, Leanna Falk, NBC 10 News, 19.
All right. Again, it's heartbreaking, but none of that brings the young man back. You know, with all the technology we have now, AI, you also have the vehicles that you don't even have to be steering. people are sleeping behind the wheel, all those advances, there has to, I don't understand why they don't have vehicles where it would be able to pick up if someone is impaired. With all the technological advances we have, that, to me, that is the solution. It's not more road enforcement. The messages have been pretty consistent now. Designate a driver. There's never been easier ways to, rideshare, which are the Uber and Lyft. But this weekend, tonight, whatever, someone will go out and get behind the wheel and not be in condition to be able to drive. So I think it should be more concerted effort, real pressure. It's on the vehicles. That's what it is. Someone traveling at a high rate of speed who is under the influence, they are operating a weapon. They're operating a weapon. And, so that guy is sorry. Whether he's sorry or not sorry, he doesn't bring, the bell is not unrung. The damage is not, there's nothing that's done about it. So I really believe there should be advances towards this. I think it's attainable. They would be able to, maybe it's even for, I don't know if it's an age thing, because then you get people of all different ages. But there's some missing link that I believe could happen with technology. And this guy was coming from a bar, the establishments, been both doing cocaine and drinking, and then it resulted in that. It's the preventive measure that is needed. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency services available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln, you can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. A great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn, a Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together, or maybe just you alone, or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. Great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu. And they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn.